breaking NFL news over the last couple of minutes. It was rumored to happen. Now it is official, as Adam Schefter tweets out or posts on X, that DeAndre Hopkins is indeed going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So if DeAndre Hopkins has anything left in that tank, he will use it in that offense. And this could be, for a 6-0 team, just another coup for that regime there. And I think this is a great move for them. And it, honestly, even if it blows up in their face, it's not going to hurt the team that much. This is a low-risk, very high-reward move. And when you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you've built up the equity that you have, if players are going to want to go there and play with Patrick Mahomes. So they're in a great position to just get better. And, of course, as we know, they're undefeated.
Let me tell you that the happiest guy in the world today is DeAndre Hopkins. He gets out of this disaster of a team. The Titans are going nowhere. They're cooked. And I normally wouldn't say that about a lot of teams, and there are a couple teams that I haven't said that about. My last Sports Minute, I talked about how the Dolphins are getting Tua back. The Jets could go on a run. I know it doesn't seem like that, but they can. And then, of course, you have the Bengals, who can turn their season around, who have a tough game this week against the Eagles. And we saw the Eagles up close and personal. They're not going to be easy to deal with because of the size of their defensive line and just how impactful they are. But I will say this. For the Chiefs right now, this is exactly what they needed. They needed a game-breaking wide receiver. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes will get him involved early and often, and he's going to be the speed guy that they've been missing.
Yeah, so you've got big wide receivers on the move. Davante Adams to the Jets, DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we will see. I mean, you know the Chiefs are going to be there. You know they're going to be at least in the AFC Championship game. I mean, they may win three in a row. I mean, it's just...
Look, there are probably about six teams right now that are totally cooked. And those are the teams that you got to look at. You got to look at the salaries. You got to look at the contract situations. Like Max Crosby has a very similar contract to that of Davante Adams, where the Raiders can get out of it if they want.
Yeah, that's a guy, though, man. Like, I understand the Davante Adams thing, and he had to go, and just they're in a rebuild. But, like, Max Crosby's one of those guys that is just the heart and soul of that team. I mean, he's such a Raider. He's the identity. I mean, if you're going to build around a player on that defense, it has to be him. I
got
to
believe that this team's going to have a new coaching staff. Telesco is their GM, who came from the Chargers, who had been there for many, many years. And, you know, what he wants to do is he wants to rebuild this team with a quarterback, and he's going to want to rebuild it with a coaching staff, and he's going to want to rebuild it with draft picks. And, you know, he's not beholden to anybody on that staff there. And if Mark Davis allows him autonomy, which he should allow him, I think that there will be more trades made. And I would think that he would be at the top of the list for a lot of teams out there to go and get. I mean, like I was saying, Detroit, who had a great game against Minnesota this week, and they blitzed more this week than they had all year long. And, you know, Aaron Glenn, the former New York Jet, is the defense coordinator there. But the reason that they blitz is because they knew they were playing against Sam Darnold. They knew they were playing against a really good passing team. And they also knew that they were missing Aiden Hutchinson. So they had to tailor their defensive game plan to get pressure on Sam Darnold. And it worked. And by the way, there isn't a quarterback in the league right now. Well, the two quarterbacks that are playing the best are Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff. Different ways, but Jared Goff is... had an 85% completion percentage, I think, or 83% completion percentage over the last four games. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, his story is one of the better stories in the NFL right now. I mean, this was a guy who was left for dead, essentially. I mean, it was the way that the Lions-Rams trade was perceived at the time was that the Lions were in a mode where they were resetting their organization. Matthew Stafford wasn't going to be there any longer. They were going to try to help him out and put him in a spot where he could win a championship. And they were going to bring in Jared Goff and then see how it went and then probably draft a quarterback. And then Jared Goff would be in the quarterback blender for the rest of his life.
And Jared Goff did not get off to a good start, by the way, that first year with Dan Campbell and everybody.
Right.
It did not go over all that well. But then all of a sudden they caught a little bit of fire late in the season. And they had some great draft picks.
Yeah, and, you know, this Ben Johnson is one of the best coordinators in football. Now, they're going to lose him at the end of this year. There's no way this guy's not getting a job during this hiring cycle.
But I'll tell you one thing. He turned down job opportunities last year because he felt like he had unfinished business in Detroit. So they look like they are one of the top four teams in the league. So maybe he made the right decision. But wherever he goes, he's not just going to take a job. He's going to only take a job if there's a legitimate quarterback there or a team that's going to be able to draft a quarterback if there is one worthy of a top five draft pick.
Yeah. And who knows? You never know with some of these coordinators. I mean, he's a young guy. We thought Rob Saleh was a great coordinator. He's going to come in and be, you know, that demanding head coach and be a presence. And he was the exact opposite of that. So you really never know with some of these coordinators. But the young, bright offensive mind is always going to be on the top of the list for owners to hire in the NFL these days.
You say that about Rob Saleh, but not one player has said one bad thing about him as a head coach. As a matter of fact, all the players have said nothing but good things about Rob Saleh and how badly they felt that he did get fired.
Yeah, but my point was that he was a fiery defensive coordinator that was supposed to come over here and have that fire on the sidelines and have an identity for his team that was going to be, you know, rough and tumble and everything. And basically, he just stood on the sidelines with his arms crossed all the time.
I'll tell you what, I wish I was a fly in that plane coming back from London. I mean, and get the real honest truth of what transpired to lead Woody to fire him. I mean, they were tight in three games, and it was really the offense, not so much the defense, but the offense that was not coming through at the end of games and had these major lulls in the second half.
Yeah.
And I understand the head coach is the guy that runs the entire team. And I'm not totally against it, but I also thought that you'd get a little bit of a bump and a jump out of this thing.
Well, you said you thought Woody did the right thing.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But the performance, you know, with Todd Downing's been good for Breece Hall, but they just have not been able to sustain anything in the second half.
And the defense has been worse since Saul left or got fired.
Yes, you're right.
So, I mean, than that.
Especially last week. But, you know, The Jets were up last week, and Aaron Rodgers throws an interception, and the whole thing collapsed. You know, a lot of times coaches will tell you there are like 6 to 7 plays in a game that will determine the outcome of the game. That's how simplistic they make it when they go back and they look at the tape and they evaluate the way things go. And we could probably say it was the Saquon Barkley getting around the corner and running down the sideline against the Giants where all of a sudden the game opened up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brutal football game up to that point. Nobody could do anything. It was a million sacks.
And then all of a sudden that play happened, mm-hmm. and it felt like the Eagles got their momentum going. So that would be one of those 6 or 7 plays in that particular game that turned that game around. That interception, the first interception in Pittsburgh, I think completely flipped the momentum.
Yeah, I mean, and you're up 15-6 in that situation, and you're thinking the Steelers' offense has been brutal. At that point, Russell Wilson looked terrible at that point in the game, and you're thinking, all right, here it is. You get to 3-4, get the Patriots 4-4. And you just, what was it, 31 unanswered points?
Yeah, Russell Wilson, at the beginning of that game, looked like a guy who hadn't played football for a year.
Yeah, which he was, you know? I mean, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But it's just shocking to see. And, you know, it's really the worst, I think probably the worst part of that game was how they were getting gashed in the run game as the game wore on. I mean, with the Najee Harris, every time they gave him the ball, he's just, boom, he's pounding through people.
Would you want to tackle him?
Well, obviously not. But
I mean, Deontay Banks didn't want to tackle Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't. Of course, I don't want to tackle any of those guys, but the guys who are getting paid to tackle him that are NFL football players that are supposed to be on a good defense, well, they're supposed to do that.
Especially when the players feel like the game is out of reach and they know in their heart that they can't win.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to tackle that guy. And, you know, really, it's up to Jeff Ulbrich, who, by all accounts, is a fiery defense coordinator. We saw that in Hard Knocks 2 years ago. And I would like to think that, you know, he still has that gravitas with his players and that he can go in there and he can call out players and tell them this particular type of effort is not only uninspiring, it's also unacceptable.
Now, you're bullish still on the Jets' chances to get back into it. What record at the bye week, would you say, all right, it's not happening?
I would say I would say anything less than 5 wins.
Okay. So if they win 3 out of the 4, they'd be 5-6. If they win all 4, they'd be 6-5.
Right. So anything
if they
four losses or less, they may
four,
go on a run.
4 wins or less.
I mean 4 wins or less.
Okay.
I think they can't. They got to get to either 5-6 or 6-5 by the bye. So and I could see that being 6-5.
4-7, you're out on
it. I think at that point, it's going to be too much.
Okay.
I think that's fair. I mean, I even think.
And by the way, they have the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are going to have Tua. So if you have played the Dolphins the last 3 weeks, things would be great.
Cakewalk.
You'd go in there and kick them. You'd go in there
like
and kick
the Yankees to the World Series.
If you want to keep belaboring that point, yeah, sure.
Cakewalk.
But now all of a sudden the Dolphins will be a different team with Tua under center, assuming that he makes it to week 14 and week 18.
Man, I mean, if he...
Actually, you know, that last game between the Jets and the Dolphins at home at the Meadowlands could be for a wild card spot.
It could be. Or it could, maybe the Jets are just dead and they lose to the Patriots and it's all over.
There's a better chance, in my opinion, that game means nothing than actually means something.
It could mean something for one of the teams,
yeah.
Maybe not for both of the teams.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
there are teams that, you know, this happens every year, where they are awful in the first 6 weeks of the season, and then the final 6 weeks of the season, they turn it on and they go on a run. We've seen this a million times. So it's going to be one of these teams, whether it be the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bengals, and the AFC. And the NFC, you know, I still think the 49ers can still win their division. They're still very much in it. They're just going through a phase where they are losing a lot of players. So DeAndre Hopkins to the 49ers would have been great because they're going to need a wide receiver now. Here's the thing in regards to Davante Adams, first and foremost, saying something in the locker room. There was a play after the interception that Davante Adams was nowhere in sight. And at the end of that play, he comes in and makes a diving tackle down on the 1 yard line. That one play tells me that that guy is all in. And that's the kind of play that the team will show or the coaches will show to the team and say, this is the kind of effort we need. Even though this was a bad play and it turned out to be a negative for the Jets, the fact of the matter is, here's one of the best players in the league at his respective position. He's here for his first game, and he comes all the way back to make what seems like a meaningless tackle when he lays himself out. You know, and we talked about it Monday morning. You know, and people are like, you know, who really cares? I mean, I'll tell you who cares. He cares. He gives a crap, you know, and if more players gave a crap like he gave a crap, they wouldn't be sitting in this situation. And by the way, the entire team is waiting for Aaron Rodgers to do something, when in actuality, the rest of the team has got to hold up their end of the bargain as well. Yeah, Aaron hasn't played well the last 2 or 3 weeks. Everybody can see that. That's easy for all of us to see. What you really have to look at is you have to look at effort. You have to look at the way people are either going and putting their head in there to make a tackle or they're not. Like a la Deontay Banks for the Giants.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, either know or you don't know. And, you know, now is the time. And I think what Devontae is doing, I appreciate. I really do appreciate because he is what you would call a fresh set of eyes on a situation that he can see has a chance of unraveling, as Troy Aikman said a couple of weeks ago. So I do appreciate it. This is not nothing. It's something. And his performance and his attempt at that tackle and making that tackle shows me all I need to know what kind of pro he is. So that's the kind of player you want in your locker room. And I'm telling you, he's highly respected. Everybody in the league, around the league, loves the guy, thinks he's a terrific player. When he was at his height of his powers with Aaron Rodgers, he was the best route runner in the NFL. And nobody was even close. And I still think he has plenty left in the tank to give a lot more to the Jets. And hopefully this little meeting, you know, does have something or some impact on the New York Jets come Sunday up in New England.
Yeah, and he said this is not baseball. You know, you get 17 games and you only have X amount of time to go out there and give it everything you've got to try to make the postseason. So, yeah, there's time right now, but gets late early.
Yeah, but this is really weird for me. And I hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, this is going to be really weird. He looks unbelievable in a uniform.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Garrett Wilson doesn't look like him in a uniform. You know, he looks like Justin Jefferson looks like him in a uniform. Like, there's something about how big he is.
How about A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown. How big, guy. Yeah, but how big he is. I don't know. It's just something about him in a uniform that just looks like amazing.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. So A.J. Brown was that guy for me. I took like a bunch of pictures of him on the sideline because he's just, I don't know, there's certain guys that stand out. Like, if you never watched football in your life and you went down to the sideline, you'd be like, okay, that guy's the best player on the team. You just know, you can see it.
You can tell when you look at him.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean, and he comes with a lot of credibility, and hopefully that gets through to the team. I just don't know. I don't know what works. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers now, hamstring injury on the injury report, so now he's at a knee, he's at an ankle, he's at a hamstring. So you know what'll happen just because it's the Jets is they'll finally win a couple games in a row and get back on track, and then Aaron Rodgers will have to miss four games with some sort of issue.
Well, that's why they have Tyrod Taylor. So anyway,
it worked out great for the Giants last year, didn't it?
Funny conversation that I had with Phil Sims on Sunday during the game between the Eagles and Giants. I said to Phil, I had my binoculars out.
Phil?
And I said, Phil, oh my gosh, look at Devontae Smith. Look how skinny he is.
Yeah.
Now, you could see it when you're watching the Eagles games, how skinny he is. You know what Phil says to me? He goes, oh, man, I love me some skinny wide receivers.
Really?
And I'm like, what?
Interesting. Yeah, which is sort of against his grain because he's a big, thick, you know, base, butt.
Well, he is a big, thick face and butt. But yeah, like, he was like, man, I love me some skinny wide receivers. I'm like, what?
Huh.
I mean, Devontae Smith is really skinny.
Yeah, no, I know.
Mean, so is Garrett Wilson, by the way.
Yeah, it was shocking, honestly, to see how, you know, slight build Devontae Smith was in person on that sideline.
Like A.J. Brown and Devontae Adams are not that.
Not at all in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, and Malik Nabers isn't that either. I mean, Malik Nabers, he's a rookie. He's going to get bigger, but he's not skinny.
He's open. Tell.
He's open right now. Allegedly. Yes. So yeah, I mean, you got two teams down that are 2-5 with a trade deadline that's still out there. You see some names that are getting tossed around, and Matt Stafford, Max Crosby, and others. I mean,
what happens tonight if the Rams beat the Vikings? Sean McVay is going to want to trade his quarterback and his wide receivers?
No, absolutely not. And I don't even think how real that is. Like, I have to look maybe deeper into their cap situation, the issues that they
have. Their cap is a mess.
Well, that's what I was alluding to.
Remember Les Snead, the GM out there?
Yeah, he said, F them picks.
F them picks because, you know, we signed all these free agents and made all these trades.
And traded all the picks away, and they won a Super Bowl. So, but now, you know what's happening now, though, those decisions? You know what's going on?
No, what's going on?
They're coming home to roost.
They're coming home to roost.
Those decisions.
Why doesn't that ever happen with the New Orleans Saints? I feel like they're always like $200 million over the cap.
But they're not doing anything. So, like, you know, it's been roosting there. You know, I mean, ever since Drew Brees left, they really haven't. They've been a nothing team.
I know that, but I'm just saying I feel like they still owe money to, like, people that are not playing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just the way I feel about it.
Well, it's sort of like the Nets and the Mets here.
Yeah.
You know, just pay guys who are already.
Well, it's going to be like the Dodgers with Ohtani.
Well, that is true. But he's
at least when Yankees sign a contract, they sign a real contract.
Here's
your money.
Right.
Here you go. We're not doing any of this Fugazi stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens with Soto. Soto might get
a Fugazi
different story, situation.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you hear Cooper Kupp, his name thrown out there, Stafford's name thrown out there. I mean, I think there's a very good chance that the Rams do win this game, especially with Cooper Kupp coming back. I mean, I don't see a world where this is a Vikings dominating performance, especially the way that they've played on defense the last couple of weeks where they haven't been as good. So,
I mean, Matthew Stafford is making $46 million this year. And he's got another year on this contract that he's presently on. And then after next year, they can get out of the contract. So it's like a Devontae Adams situation, a Max Crosby situation, one of those contracts.
Yeah.
But his dead cap, the cap hit for them right now is $46 million. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, I mean, the dead cap is really not that much, actually. I don't know. There's an option bonus. There's all sorts of stuff.
Well, I mean,
Hold on. Here's the dead
cap. I'm assuming that it's possible And that's all you really need to know once you sift through all the details. Is it possible? Is it not possible?
The dead cap is, like, according to this, SpotTrack, the dead cap for them is $94 million. And that was coming into this year. So a lot of his money's already been paid. The dead cap next year would be like $49 million.
Yeah, there could be like a post June 1 situation, whatever. I don't know. That's so confusing. But
it is, you know, isn't it annoying?
It is. It's not quite as confusing as the NBA, but it is confusing. Why in the NFC would anybody at this stage of the season start trading away guys? Unless you're the Carolina Panthers, who are the worst team. I mean, the NFC is wide open.
The NFC is wide open, especially the NFC West at the moment. NFC North is a little bit dicey.
Well, it's a good division.
NFC South has got, you know, the Falcons and the Bucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would just be shocking to me if they ended up trading away Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford and whoever the hell else. It just doesn't make any sense. So, and they could win tonight, and that changes everything. But okay, so if you're the Giants though, and you've got this
you have five losses.
Yeah, and obviously the five losses for the Giants different than the five losses for the Jets at this point, because the Jets are all in on this season. They're going to wait to the very last moment before they're completely dead to do anything.
Oh, yeah. They got Hassan Reddick right now.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
This starts the season
The catalyst.
Has started now.
Now they're in.
This is where it begins, according to Al Dukes.
So,
and by the way, did you see that Rob Saleh is consulting with the Packers?
Yeah, that's his buddy.
They're very tight buddies.
That was his best man in his wedding and the whole
LaFleur
thing.
So Matt LaFleur, now I don't know if this is a dig at the Jets. The Packers don't like the Jets. The Packers don't like Aaron Rodgers. They don't like anything whatever. Matt LaFleur said he hired Rob Saleh to consult with his offense.
He's
got a fluid situation going on consulting with the Packer offense.
Well, he's probably, but all right. The way that's worded, he could be using his defensive genius, for lack of a better term, to help out the offense and say, hey, you know, if you see this, you see that, I'm seeing some things, this is how I would play.
Well, why couldn't he do that with the Jets?
Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe. Well, actually, you know what? He didn't, because Aaron Rodgers is there. Rodgers is running
but
the show.
But I thought Rob, when he was here, said he was going to be overlooking the offense.
Right, after they almost hired Arthur Smith. So I don't know. I just know that he is there now, and I'm going to pick the Packers to lose this week because he's there.
Don't be like that.
Going to torpedo the season.
Man, you are like just relentless. Guys, out of here now.
No, I know. You said it was the right move.
I did. I felt like, you know, they're going to try to save this. Because something was going on internally.
Yeah.
You know that. I know that. And I don't know if it happened on the plane back from London. I don't know if it happened on the plane to London. It sounded to me like Rob was getting really frustrated. Rob Saleh was getting really, really frustrated with the offense. And he wanted to make changes. He was going to make changes. Changes have ultimately been made. But he ended up getting released. I don't know why. It has to be something between Woody, Christopher, and Aaron Rodgers. There has to be some sort of ironclad agreement that the Johnson brothers wanted to be able to allow Nathaniel Hackett to stay here.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. The Knicks got their season started last night in the wrong way, although I think that's the best thing that could have happened to them. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I know, BT, you have concerns about this team, you know, being as good as they were a year ago and the chemistry and all that stuff. So we talked about it. Yankees in the World Series. We'll do more football tomorrow. How many times are we going to say it? The Giants, it is what it is, Monday night against the Steelers. If there's anything left in the tank for the Giants, let's see if they can be competitive. But the Jets, a big game, and there's a lot of injuries going on with the Jets, specifically with Rodgers, who's now dealing with a hamstring as well. He's really banged up here. I know Reddick is back and should be in action. Finally, we get to see him against New England. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way the Jets could lose this game, can they?
I mean, I don't think so. They're in disarray. I saw something this morning. They're maybe starting to contemplate getting rid of Mayo already. Like, I guess internally it's very sloppy.
Did you hear Belichick took a shot at him, too?
At Mayo?
Yeah.
That I didn't hear.
Basically saying, I heard the morning show talking about it today. Basically saying, and I don't know, Belichick's all over the place. You can't keep up, whether it's Manning cast, McAfee, whatever.
It's pretty podcast, interesting, you know, though, when he speaks. He's saying stuff.
I guess Mayo called the Patriots' defense soft.
Okay.
And Belichick said, well, I don't know how they're soft. It was the best part of the team a year ago, and it's all the same players.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a direct shot. My God.
He is a king, man. I love Belichick. Hey, wow. You know what? He should be coaching. You want to say they got stale there? Fine. But you can't tell me Gerard Mayo is a better coach than Bill Belichick. And I'll take it a step further. I like Raheem Morris, and I understand why Atlanta made that hire. You can't tell me he's better than Belichick. Look at all the talent that that team has. They wouldn't be better off with Bill Belichick right now.
Oh, they would. I mean, there's probably only a few coaches right now. Not that they're historically better than Belichick, but they're more offensive-oriented. They've got their system. I mean, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. We don't need to discuss anything else. That's why, you know, I know he hates the Jets and he's throwing dirt on the Giants. I still think that there's going to be a lot of conversations on the station about Belichick going to save one of those two teams.
Yeah, and like, maybe we'll see. But either way, Reddick coming back, I would expect.
I think the Jets will win, man. I do.
And even so, it's just pushing it further. I know Boomer's been on the Jets are going to be a playoff team thing. Or they
still?
They have to get to two more wins, get to the bye week at 5-6 or whatever it is. Something like that, I think he said.
Well, I heard him say this morning that.
Four and five, could it be? When's their bye?
I don't know. You have it in front of you?
No, I'll look it up.
All right. I heard him say this morning, I don't think he's wrong with this, where there's going to basically be at this point now, like a 4-day span that determines what if the Jets season is over or if they've got a fighting chance. Like, you got to beat the Pats. There's absolutely nothing. There's no compromise. You must. And then 4 days after that, it's the Texans at home on Halloween, and Houston's good, but not amazing. And by the way, the Jets beat the Texans last year with Zach Wilson. So if you can, and I know we're putting things forward. I mean, they've lost four straight. Now we're going to give them two straight wins. We're not going to give it to them. It's just a source of conversation where, like, if the Jets can somehow muster up that second win, because they should beat the Pats. Pats are awful. If they do win two in a row, you've got the remnants of a season. You got a chance.
So 2-5 at New England.
Win.
Home against the Texans.
I'm going to give them the win now. Boomer inspired me.
Okay, fine.
4-5.
So now you're 4-5 at Arizona.
I'm going to have to give them that win.
And then home against the Colts before the bye.
I mean, I'm going to give them the win. I've always said they're going to beat the Colts.
Right. So you'd be 6-5.
But dude, are they going to really win four straight?
Probably not. But even if they did, here's the problem mathematically. Let's say they did win four straight games and get themselves to 6-5 going into the bye. Mm-hmm. All is feeling
good. With six to go.
Yeah. Right. Okay, home against Seattle. Let's say they win that one. Are they going to beat Miami twice?
Yeah, probably not.
Right.
Not
so that's
with Tua coming
so that's
back.
A sixth loss already. Uh-huh. At Jacksonville, win.
Yeah.
Home against the Rams should be a win.
I think they might even trade Stafford the Rams.
I mean, their schedule, I guess the point is, and that's why I said yesterday when we were doing this or the other day, that it really does come down to how you view those Miami games. With Tua back, is Miami going to be legit or are they going to be garbage? Because the Jets have the good fortune of playing the Patriots this week, which gives them a chance, and then two games with Miami. This schedule is soft. Jacksonville stinks. The Rams stink.
Yep.
They're not winning the next four in a row, though. They'll get tripped up here somewhere along the way. I mean, they lost at home to Denver. There's the same team that lost at home to Denver.
Denver's not as bad as we thought. By the way, Denver's got four wins right now.
Understood, but they're still Denver. Like, are they better than Arizona or Indianapolis or Houston? Like,
yeah, they should be. I don't know if they're better than Houston. They could be. I don't know if they're better than
Arizona's
Houston.
Dangerous. I mean,
yeah.
It's who's a soft schedule, which would give you hope. Look, I'm not ready to go. Here's the bottom line. Forget about who they're playing.
Yeah.
They themselves stink.
That's the key. We're getting wrapped up in the opponent. They got to fix their own house.
Yes.
Otherwise, they have no shot.
Their offensive line's a mess.
Mess.
Defensively, they're a mess. Although I did read that the corners should be back.
DJ Reed's a big DJ Reed. They missed DJ Reed.
But
DJ
still,
Reed's terrific.
Oh, yeah. And Reddick coming back. Everyone's going to get pumped up about that.
He's not going to hurt.
I mean, because they have the players and because their schedule is soft, there is still reason. Like, the Giants are toast. They're dead in the water. There's no chance. They don't have the players. They don't have the schedule.
I agree.
Like, they're toast.
I agree.
The Jets at least have a chance. I can't see it. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Lou's in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
We approach 4 o'clock on this crazy Monday. The Monday after the New York Liberty are WNBA champions. The New York Yankees are American League champions. The Giants suck. The Jets kick us in the you-know-whats. And the Mets season ends on a Sunday night in Los Angeles. We talked to my former longtime partner, the great Joe Beningo, with his Football Monday call-in. And it's brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by HO Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, up to you. Where do you want to start from last night's debacle?
What's up, Joe B?
Hi, Teague. How you doing, man? Where do I want to start
about
from
the same
last
as you.
Night? I'll start with the baseball team because, you know, I can't be upset with the Mets. I mean, you know, it is what it is. They gave us an outstanding year. Nobody saw this year coming. You know, what can I say? I cannot be upset with them. And, you know, I look at the management team that we have right now with Stevie and with Stearns, who I was completely wrong about, and Carlos Mendoza. And, you know, all I can hope is that it's going to be sustained winning now. You know, make the big bid for Soto. Don't get outbid there. I want Pete back. Pete's got to be a Met. Get it done. Find a way to do it with Pete. I'd like to see Sean Manaea come back. You know, I'd like to see Severino come back as well. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do feel confident. We got a budding superstar, Mark Vientos. David Peterson emerged this year as a top pitcher for us. So many different things. Lindor became, you know, moved into the pantheon of the great Mets of all time. You know, I just can't be upset. You know, Alvarez finally started hitting. It was a little too late. But the bottom line is, they didn't get the big hit enough. I mean, you can talk about all the runs the Dodgers scored and all the walks the Mets pitchers gave them and all of that. They had the bases loaded so many times in this series. Twice last night, they couldn't get the big hit. You go back to game four, they had the bases loaded, no out, down five. They couldn't score a run. You know, to me, it really comes down to that. But if you're a Met fan today, you can't be upset with what the Mets gave you this year. I understand they didn't win it all. I get it. They didn't get to the World Series. This was a tremendous, one of the best years we ever had as Met fans.
You've said in the past, it's not a great season if you don't win it all.
Right.
So what is this season? Just a fun season? Like, how would you define the 2024
It's a very good season. It's better than most. I mean, nobody saw this coming. We didn't have any expectations with this team. And to come back from the dead like they did to, you know, game six of the championship series, it's a pretty damn good year. I mean, how else do you say it? I mean, I don't, you know, we had so many moments. I mean, the home run by Lindor in Atlanta, the home run by Pete in Milwaukee, the grand slam by Lindor against the Phillies, you know, so many moments. I mean, even game five at Citi Field, you know, raucous Citi Field and not being eliminated at home for the first time in the last five times they've been eliminated in the playoffs, you know, so all of that. I can't be upset. We're on the right track. Like I said, I think we got the right management team in here. And let's go. Let me see sustained success now going forward with this franchise.
So they have a lot of questions this offseason, but one guy who's been talked about all year is Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were lockstep. They got to keep Pete Alonso.
What the hell
are we doing?
I still want him.
Did you ever kind of, at any point, especially before the home run against the Brewers and Devin Williams, was there ever any moment where you're like, you know what, this guy can't handle a big spot. Just move
on.
Well,
look, I mean, I was very disappointed. I mean, I would, you know, you get tired of him looking at fastballs down the middle and swinging at breaking balls 30 feet off the plate. I mean, there was a lot of that this year, but he's our guy, bro. He's our guy. He's a homegrown Met. He hit 53 home runs his rookie year. He set the record there. He's going to be the all-time Met home run leader. He's going to hit somewhere probably between 400 and 500, if not more, home runs in his career. And I want him back. I think he's played very good defensively for the most part. He had that little kind of weird flip last night, but I'm not getting crazy about that. You know, I think, how many times have you seen him dig balls out of the dirt and stuff to save guys from errors? I want Pete back. There's no question about it.
Right, Joe, I think the biggest thing, my biggest takeaway from a on the field standpoint was just David Stearns' acumen. Now you have nothing but to trust him because the Winker fine, the Iglesias fine. And
Everybody,
all these one-year deals.
Tyrone Taylor, 100%. Harrison Bader, Manaea, like I said, Severino. We go right on down the line. I mean, and obviously the manager.
Right.
You know, every move that Stearns made turned out to work. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's not also forget the Brett Beatty, the Vientos conversation.
Of course, right? Of course.
We thought Vientos was never going to get a shot.
Right.
Ultimately, he did. But
he's probably their best hitter, to be honest.
Without a doubt. But there needs to be, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, like a more aggressive approach to go get big-time stars in free agency. Do you think he'll do that? It was not his M.O., per se? I mean, he did.
Well, I think Stevie, it's up to Stevie's got to go make the bid for Soto. I'm sorry. I mean, look, I think Soto's going to stay with the Yankees. I mean, you asked me how I think it'll go. I think they will. But you can't be outbid if you're Steve Cohen. You got to make the bid for the number one free agent. Go get him. You know, show him the money. And if he doesn't want to come here, well, he wants to play for the Yankees, okay, so be it. But Steve Cohen's got to show Soto the money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, you look at all these big, kind of big-name guys that have come to town over the last few years. They all have something in common, whether it's Max Scherzer or it's Aaron Rodgers or it's Kevin Durant. They come here and they're past their prime.
Yep.
Juan Soto is in his prime.
Oh, God, he's 25.
I mean, that's the biggest difference on acquiring a guy like Soto and all the other mercenaries that have come in over the years. Like, the best is yet to come with Juan Soto, while with these other guys, we saw the best elsewhere.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. And I'm confident Cohen's going to do it. I mean, I'm very confident that he's going to make a big bid for Soto because he wants a win. And we're close. I mean, let's be honest. This team is close. So let's get it done. Let's go. Let's go, Stevie.
All right, let's get to the Jets.
What a disgrace.
Where do you want to start with that debacle last night?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, where do I want to start? I mean, they got a 15-6 lead in this game, okay? Rodgers throws this horrible pass. We're in control of the game. He throws this horrible pick into triple coverage. Where the hell is he throwing the ball? They get the touchdown, 15-13. All right, they fall behind, 16-15. And then Garrett Wilson, you know, I don't want to hear about Garrett Wilson anymore. You know, you want to be a big-time receiver in this league, you can't do what you did. Catch the damn ball. The guy brings it to the one-yard line, they score. All right, they're still in the game, and then Zuerlein's got to go. That's it. I'm done. Zuerlein's done. I don't care that they blocked the field goal. I don't want to see this guy anymore. You got to get a new kicker. He's finished. It's in his head. He's missed 5 field goals already this year. Get him the hell out of there. And then once, and here's what really got me, bro. Once he missed that field goal, they quit after that. And I'm telling you right now, this defense stinks. I know the secondary's all banged up. Everybody's hurt. Carter's hurt. Reed's hurt. Clark is hurt. You know, Sauce is the most overrated corner in the game. Let's start with that. Their defensive line is brutal. Solomon Thomas, Michael Clemens, Kinlaw, they all stink, every freaking one of them. You can bring Reddick in here, and you can tell him he's going to be this great pass rusher. We'll see what he turns out to be. But right now, this defense isn't any good. And they quit. And I'm telling you this, too. And I'm concerned. It's only 2 games. This coach looks like he's way over his head.
Well, they got worse.
Right. He looks like he's hard in the headlights.
It's hard to fault him, Joe, because, I mean, he didn't know he was.
No, I'm not killing him.
I know, I'm just saying.
But he does.
You're absolutely right. But how the hell is he supposed to be a head coach
after
being a defensive coordinator basically his whole career?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a former player, so he knows a little bit of how it works from a head coaching standpoint, just from being head coached in his previous, you know, professional life. But, I mean, talk about putting a guy in a terrible spot, a terrible situation, and not just saying, make these decisions about this guy and this, your quarterback coach versus your offensive coordinator and blah, blah, blah. And but go motivate this team despite being 2-4 coming into this weekend. Yeah. Right? It was an impossible spot. I don't know why they expected like this sudden change to happen just because you fired Robert Saleh.
Yeah. No, hey, look, I mean, he looks like a deer in the headlights. The only thing I'll give him is that after the game, he was ticked off, and Saleh never seemed ticked off after a game.
No, he's emotional. Olbrich is emotional.
Yeah.
And he should be.
I mean, what else can I say? I mean, there was sailing in this game, Teague. Mm-hmm. What is Rodgers doing throwing that ball over to me? And I understand Rodgers, 40 years old. He's not the same guy anymore. But he's still better than most quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think he'll go look at this and he'll realize, because I knew when I watched this earlier, I was like, there's an easy throw he should have made. So it's 2nd and 4. It's not like it's 3rd and 8.
Right.
And you got to make this, you know, this deep dig over the middle of the field, 15 yards downfield. Breece Hall is coming underneath. He's running this under route, and there's nobody on him. Chunk it down to him.
Yeah.
Get 8 yards. Maybe he breaks his tackle. Get,
well, and also because
get 20 yards.
Because of the time left in the first half, like, what you can't do is turn the ball over.
Especially not in negative field position.
Right.
On the negative side of the 40.
100%.
So it was a terrible mistake, and he's made a bunch of them. Going last week, the throw to Mike Williams. I know he tried to over-explain it about the red line and all that stuff, but it was a terrible throw. As much as we want to talk about Olbrich and, you know, the talent and blah, 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 your quarterback's got to play better. He's got to play like he's Aaron Rodgers that everybody expected him to be.
And the offensive line, I thought, protected him pretty well last night. I can't even say that it was that because he wasn't getting beat up as he has in the last few games. That wasn't the case last night. But one thing, they can't run the ball. Mm. I mean, let's be honest about this. Their running game is nowhere.
Right.
I mean, how many times do I have to see Breece Hall get hit for 4-yard loss in a backfield? You know? I mean, they got no running game at all.
Yeah, he's good. Now. He's good in the screens and checking down once he gets in space. But if your run game is going to be that bad, you got to put Braylon Allen in because he's just a bigger back.
Yeah,
At least he has a chance of breaking a tackle in the backfield.
Right. And the other thing, too, Vera Tucker got hurt again. How about this guy? Yeah. I mean, he's always hurt.
Always.
And it was a shame to see this kid Newman go down. I hope he's all right. I haven't heard anything about
him. He flew back with the team, so that's definitely a good sign. But, yeah, it was a very scary injury. Just to go back to the coach. Look, I was never a huge fan of Robert Saleh. Obviously, you soured on Robert Saleh, but we have seen over the last 2 weeks why it is a panic move and it never works out to fire your head coach in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. Woody Johnson knows nothing about football. Like, if you told me Joe Douglas made this decision, I'd feel a little bit better. This was an owner who had no patience and said, let me try something. They've gotten worse.
Yeah.
Their defense has been worse since they made this move.
Well, because he's divided. He's the coordinator.
Well, that's a part of the decision.
Of course it is. Yeah. I mean, you said it before we knew who was going to be the interim. Let the special teams coach be the head coach, especially if it's an interim. Now, look, I know it's because they like Jeff Olbrich and they think he can be a leader of men and change the culture and all these other things, but he has a day job right now, and that's to be the defensive coordinator of one of the top defenses in the NFL.
And it's gotten worse. Yeah, I mean, they gave up touchdowns and scoring drives on like five straight drives in the second half of this game.
They made Russell Wilson look like it was 2013 again last night. Yeah, I really did.
Right.
I mean, and I got to say about this guy, too. You know, Quinnen Williams is turning into Muhammad Wilkerson. I mean, let's be honest about it. Can this guy make a freaking play? I'm tired of hearing how great, he's double teamed. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. You know what? He's Muhammad Wilkerson right now. He got paid, and he's been a complete stiff.
Well,
that's how I feel.
They got a lot of guys who have individual talent. Quinn Williams, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, and they've all to a T underperformed this season.
Every one of them.
And that's a big part of where they are right now. So they bring in Devontae Adams, great. Yes. Hassan Reddick decided to show up, fantastic. Yeah. But things aren't getting better, and it's deeply concerning.
Very concerning. And I don't know where we go from here, bro. I mean, this has a chance to be one of the all-time worst years they ever had. I mean, what if they go 5-12, 6-11, something like that, okay, with this quarterback? Everybody's gone. Everybody's gone at the end of the year. Douglas, the whole coaching staff. I don't know if Rodgers would come back or not. But, I mean, where are we going?
Well, why would you want him back? If they win 6 or 7 games, what's the point?
What's the point? And we got to draft a young quarterback. And, you know, look, to me, you know how I feel. If they completely crap out now, which, I mean, why wouldn't I think that's going to happen? You know, I'd love to see Rex back here. You know that. You know I would. No, I would. I definitely would. Get the band back. Give me Rex and Tannenbaum back. You know, they got to do something. And you cannot, if you get a new coach next year, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. There's still 10 games to play. But still, I mean, you know, I'm already there thinking this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring me some guy who's some coordinator who's never coached before. I'm sorry. I can't deal with that.
Well, not if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback.
No,
unless you're just resetting it all. Just
right.
Like redoing it and saying, all right, we're going to be not bad, but just we're not going to be expected to be a playoff team or a Super Bowl team. That's the only way you go get one of those young coordinators.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, you know, it's 56 years. They've been to the Super Bowl. It'll probably be another 56 till they get there again. You know, Evan will be 70 years old, still waiting. You know, I'll be long dead. Evan will still be waiting for that bowl. You know, you know what I'm saying? And you'll still be waiting.
And a year like this makes you feel even further away. Because everything you're describing, if this season ends at 5-12, 6-11, they're going to have no other choice to blow it up. Now, the thing I hold out hope for is despite being 2-5, they play the lousy Patriots next week.
Okay, well, they better beat them.
They better beat them. And you look at the schedule, there are games on the schedule. They can win. I'd say they should win, but I bet every team's looking at the Jets thinking the
same thing.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, even if you win in Foxborough next week, then because of this absurd schedule they have, you got to turn around and play a very good Texan team on Halloween night. That should be a rip-roarer on Halloween freaking night. I mean, you know, where are they going from here? I mean, who you say soft spot. What you am I confident they're going to go into Arizona and beat the Cardinals?
No. I'm not confident they'll beat any of these teams. But these are at least beatable teams. These are teams that are not as good as the Buffalo Bills or the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion.
Right.
But doesn't mean they're actually going to beat them.
Right, right. Look, to me, there's two really great teams, maybe three in the league. Obviously, Kansas City. The Lions, to me, are the next best team in the league.
Yep.
And then probably Baltimore.
Well, I mean, it's funny.
Right?
It's,
I mean, I know you feel, Teague. Those are the teams in my mind.
Yeah, I got to put Minnesota up there. I mean, they got beat by a really good Minnesota.
The Lions
squad.
Yep.
I want to agree with you on the Kansas City Chiefs because they're 6-0, but something's wrong with Pat Mahomes. Maybe it's because he just doesn't have receiving talent right now.
Maybe.
He's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns at this point.
Crazy.
Yeah, but he's 6-0 and he ran for he had a run yesterday in that game.
Where he mushed that DB.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
He ran a 33-yard run and set up a touchdown.
Right.
He put moves on a guy.
Right. And then, and then he ran over the dude in the end zone. But so here's why.
Here's why
I agree with you on Mahomes just for a second, Joe.
Go ahead.
A guy like that is going to find a way to win.
No question.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
If he can't get it done through the air, the pass game isn't working because the talent's just not there. Travis Kelce's getting old. Whatever you want to say, he finds a way. And Pat Mahomes is that X factor quarterback. We always talk about these. Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy's an X factor. There's not really that many X factor players. Pat Mahomes is one of them for sure.
Because well,
even
all-time,
despite
right?
bad statistics. He still find ways to win games.
No question. They got a very good defense. Their defense doesn't get the credit that it deserves. Spagnuolo is one of the all-time great defensive coordinators. They are a tremendous defensive football team led by Chris Jones. Those guys, you know, Carl Loftus, I mean, all those guys, they are a very, very good defense.
Very underrated. Very well coached, like you said, Spags, Andy Reid.
Yep.
And look, you say Pat Mahomes finds ways to win so far, and all I care about and all you care about is his Jet tenure. I could give a rat's ass about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So far, all he does is find ways to lose.
Yeah.
That's all he's done for us.
And, you know, for all the aggravation Brett Favre gave us when the 1 year he was here, I mean, say whatever you want. We were 8-3 with this guy until he got hurt.
Won. Yeah.
Right. Until he got hurt. Once he got hurt, that you know, that we went downhill. We blew it. We finished 9-7. Didn't make the playoffs. But at least, you know, we were playing like a top team.
Yeah.
This guy he's been terrible. Let's be real.
He's been a disaster.
Yep.
And he really has. He's been worse than Brett Favre. Now, hopefully,
he'll
do the opposite of Brett. Like you said, Brett got off to an 8-3 start, finished horribly. Hopefully, and all you can do is cross your fingers here, is that Aaron Rodgers finishes strong and they save this season. But right now, it's tough to imagine good things happening for the Jets.
You got to get this kicker out of here, Teague.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I know they brought three guys in here and they stuck with Zuerlein. You can't stick with him anymore. I mean, I have no confidence anymore, and I think his confidence is shot.
Well, it was shot because of the wind. Right, last weekend, and then now this week, he's trying to drive the ball, but because he's driving the ball, it's only getting 7 feet off the ground as it crosses the line of scrimmage, so it's easy to block. Right, he's in his mind right now.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, they look like they quit. After he missed that field goal, I thought they quit after that. I got to tell you.
Certainly felt that way.
Which was very scary to say, but I, you know, and I'm very worried about Ulbrich. He looks like he's a deer in the headlights.
Right now, that's the way it looks. Yankees, Dodgers, who do you think is going to win?
Who do I think is going to win? I hope nobody wins. I hope for your sake, that if the Yankees win, that you do not have to go do this parade. I mean, I really, you don't deserve to have to do it. You had to do a Yankee
parade.
You had it right. We were there in 09 for the Yankees. We were there twice for the Giants. You know, please, Mr. Oliveira, Mr. Ryan Hurley, do not let my guy here have to let BT and Sal do the damn parade. Okay, there's no way you should be doing this. Look. It's the lesser of two evils. I can't stand it. I mean, the Dodgers to me, my hatred for the Dodgers is above and beyond. Okay, I can't stand them. I can't. You know my whole feeling about California, LA, and all of it going on there. We won't get into the reasons why, but you know why. I can't freaking stand it. I hate the Dodgers. I hate Ohtani. I hate everything about them. So with that said, It pains me, and I'm going to pay very little attention to this World Series. Okay, very. Thank God I'm only on Saturday. I don't have to do. I don't have to watch every pitch of every freaking game in this series. Okay, but I will say that let the Yankees win. Let the Yankees
win. Let the Yankees win. And
oh,
by the way,
so kind of you.
Here's
Joe.
Why.
No, but I mean, I don't want to see the Yankees win.
We'll take it.
But you know? Here's why, Joe, if you're thinking about yourself as a Met fan, here's why you're probably right. So after the Yankees won Game 5, I watched all the celebrations. At that point, the Mets hadn't been eliminated yet, and I was consuming everything. And I thought Hal Steinbrenner's answer to, hey, Hal, what'd you think when Juan Soto had that at-bat? Was fascinating because it looked like his brain was calculating the money of how much it's going to cost.
Right.
And you wonder if the Yankees win the World Series, if Howe would actually be less likely to give him $700 million.
Hey, look, if that means Soto's going to be gone and Stevie's going to get him, then let him win. Sure.
There you go.
Let's go.
Joe.
Just don't make my boy go to the parade here, will you?
Don't worry about it. I think I'll be all right.
These damn are you going to the Liberty Parade? I'm sure they're going to have a parade.
There is. Thursday at 10 a.m., the New York Liberty Parade's taking place.
Is that
that's great.
Now, is BT and Sal going to be there for that, too?
I got to find out from management if we're sending them over for the Liberty Parade. I'll try to get the information for our audience.
Please.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Joe.
I hate being as wrong as emotionally as I felt last night because I want to take you back to about 6 minutes to go in the second quarter of this game. It is 7-6 New York Jets. There's a third and goal from the 1 yard line, and we're all debating, did Breece Hall get in the end zone for a touchdown?
Yes.
Okay? And sometimes you look for signs in sports. You look for, like, hey, are the football gods on your side? Jeff Ulbrich, who, by the way, has been a freaking disaster as head coach of this team, fumbles the red flag to challenge Breece Hall scoring or not scoring. Okay, fumbles it. He can't even pick up the red flag properly. Aaron Rodgers then connects to Tyler Conklin for a touchdown. And luckily, sign number one that the football gods are on your side, the Jets score a touchdown when it would have been so typical of the Jets for them to say, oh, no, sorry, play doesn't count. Red flag got thrown. They rule no touchdown, and then the Jets don't score.
Yeah.
So that's break number one. And then right after that, they're going for an extra point to go up 14-6, and the extra point is blocked. And then, by the luck of God, the officials say, oh, no, no, leverage, penalty on the Steelers, and Ulbrich says, screw it, I'm going to go for it for a two-point conversion, in which the Jets convert. And now, all of a sudden, it's a two-score game. And I'm thinking to myself, as the Mets are losing, wow, it's all changing. I can already envision what Morash is going to say. He's going to whine and bitch. Oh, the officials got the leverage wrong. The Jets got their breaks. He's going to troll me all day, and I'm going to just laugh and say, oh, don't worry, who cares? We won, we won. And at 15-6, especially after that Jet defense forced close to a three and out, and Will McDonald sacks Russell Wilson, and the Jets get the ball back with 3 minutes to go, and Aaron Rodgers throws that sexy as hell back shoulder pass to Alan Lazard. I am feeling my freaking oats. Like, all right, my Mets season's going to end, but the Jets are back. And never before have I seen everything change with one, and I'm going to quote the quarterback, bleepy interception that Aaron Rodgers threw to Bishop. It killed him. It changed the entire momentum of the game. Now, look, that doesn't mean the Jet defense have to allow the Steelers on five plays to go 54 yards.
Right.
They're not forced to do that and give the Steelers a 15-13 lead. But my God, Teak, not only did the game change in that sequence, it felt like any hope this Jet team had changed in that sequence.
And all these interceptions aren't Aaron's fault, obviously.
That one is.
The first one was, absolutely his fault.
Yes.
Because that was a bad throw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forgetting where he should have went. I watched it this morning, where it should have went. But whatever, it was a bad decision and a bad throw. The second one was on Garrett Wilson.
Yes.
Right? I know that he was obscured, or you could, you know, in theory, forgive him because the way that the defender, who ended up intercepting it, same guy, blocked his vision, he probably didn't see the ball coming.
Yeah, but still, the ball is in your breadbasket.
What It hit him.
Yeah.
It hit him in his chest.
That's the most inexcusable interception as a receiver you could have.
When I went back and looked at it, I think the defender's either head or hand is in the sight of line of the ball, his line of sight for the ball. So he just doesn't see it. And so it hits him in the chest, it gets intercepted, and that's really when the game turned itself over. But the bigger issue for me was less about the mistakes on offense. You can recover from those at times. You can't give up that many stupid big plays.
Oh.
I mean, you want to half chalk them up to luck, but make the play on the ball, right? The ball is floating in the air, Brandon Echols. Don't just let Pickett basket catch it without even trying.
Yeah.
And so the big plays are what killed them because it changed field position significantly, and then you let the Steelers just kind of easily get points because of how you couldn't stop the big play.
When you give up 31 unanswered points, it's a lot of crap.
Yes.
It's a lot of bad crap that leads to that, and you're right about being critical of this Jet defense. You're right. They gave up way too many big plays. Right. Sauce Gardner gets called for an absolutely awful penalty, and I mean awful for him. Yeah. Not that it's a bad call every single week, but the other thing that has to be concerning, it has to put the shiver down your spine, is that while the quarterback may not suck, he is not the same.
No.
This is not prime Aaron Rodgers. Now, I was naive enough to think, even if he's just decent Aaron Rodgers, that should be enough based on the way the Jets played last year and the year before. If the defense is big time, if they can run the ball, all you need is just halfway confidence at quarterback, and it'll be enough. But the scary part about sports is everything isn't the same. This defense has gone backwards since Woody Johnson made the decision to fire Robert Saleh. Everyone got their blood. They were very happy that day. And I warned you as a Jet fan, does this ever work out?
Yeah.
Does firing the coach when you're trying to spark your season ever work?
No. A lot of people took a lot of arrows, including Robert Saleh and Nate Hackett and everybody else. It looks exactly the same.
It looks worse.
Right. It does look worse.
Worse.
You're right. Because now I feel like Jeff Ulbrich is stretched as the head coach and defensive coordinator. I know he probably has help calling the defense at this point, but he looks stressed. This defense, while they're good for stretches, you give up too many big plays. Now, part of that's obviously DJ Reed, Michael Carter being out,
yeah,
and Brandon Echols being terrible, and Isaiah, what's the other? Isaiah Oliver, whatever the heck his name was. Those guys, they were just bad. They didn't make plays on the ball, but you stretched yourself by firing your head coach in a meaningless way. It didn't ignite anybody.
No, it's gotten worse.
It didn't change the culture to be more accountable. None of that happened.
No.
So you'll look back on this Jets ownership and say, was that the right thing to do?
No, that's
what, and now it's too late.
That's what happens when you've got an owner who knows nothing about football making the decisions. It's not like Joe Douglas made that decision. Woody Johnson made that decision.
Right.
And so yesterday, in a lot of ways, on Sunday night, on national TV, of course, because it's got to be on national TV. The thing about the Jets and the Giants is that they're already bad as it is, but it's even more embarrassing when it happens on national TV. Like, the good news for Sean yesterday is I know you went to MetLife Stadium and you had just a horrible, horrible experience. And there is a part of me that has compassion for you.
Thank you.
But the good news is your patheticness gets hidden at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
You're
it
right.
did in a week earlier against the Bengals, by the way.
And won't next week on Monday night.
And won't next week. No, I agree. This is for both of us. This is not me, you know, throwing arrows at the Giants. I'm mocking both of us. It makes it worse when it happens in front of a national audience.
Yeah, because you become the week-long punchline all over television all week long.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's beyond pathetic. And I know,
at least Reddick's coming back.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. Great. Hassan Reddick's coming back. Great. Look at the schedule. It's soft. Great. Everything's right in front of him. I get it. But if you're a Jet fan, how the hell do you go to sleep on a Sunday night after that patheticness and actually have any hope about this team? And you've got no other choice. Like, the Jets bringing Hassan Reddick in, you can mock it all you want. They had no other choice.
Yeah.
Of course they got to bring him in. What the hell are they going to do?
How does Reddick look at the rest of that locker room after that loss in their eyes this morning?
I don't know, and that's a great question. Like, Teague, I know there isn't a circumstance that you can compare 100% to this, but if you're a New York Jet, if you're Breece Hall, your favorite all-time player, what do you think he's thinking about when Hassan Reddick joins that locker room today?
You better be a stone-cold baller, right? I don't want to hear, oh, I got a groin injury, I got a hamstring little strain, I can't go full gold today, and or I'm just a guy, a jag, just a guy.
Right.
If you're a jag, then not the guys are going to turn on you because technically they're his teammates, but it's going to be like, what's your point?
Right.
And so it could get ugly.
The New York Jets are a fantasy football team. That's all they are. They're a collection of talent. They got a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah,
but that's
course.
All they are. They're just a collection of talent. And we, the suckers that we are going to sit there every week just hoping, like hoping to the football gods that something's going to change. There's no evidence that anything's going to change. There's no evidence that just because they're facing the inferior New England Patriots on Sunday, that all of a sudden it's going to click. That when they play the Texans on Halloween, all of a sudden it's going to click. Like, there's no evidence of that. It is a sad, sad state of affairs.
Mark is in Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
Another great show, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
In watching the Mets and the Jets lose, you had such opposite feelings. As a Mets fan, you could say, I'm proud of this team. They fought like the devil. They gave us everything they had, and we had an excellent time watching them and an excellent ride. Watching the Jets, it's almost an embarrassment. They're like a disorganized second-grade class, everybody going in different directions. Mm-hmm. They have no plan. The worst thing that could happen to them, Sal, is they go 6-4 for the rest of the year. They wind up 8-9, and their clueless owner says, oh, we turned it around. We finished
no,
strong.
No, he's not saying that after 8-9. There's no chance he's saying that. No way. No way.
No way, Mark.
Not
we appreciate
this year.
The call. There's no way. I mean, Woody's got to know. Now, Woody's tried everything. But he also said when he made the change a couple of weeks ago, he said flat out, I expect the wins to start coming now.
Yep.
Well, now, like.
0-2.
Now doesn't mean 3 weeks from now. I think now meant now. 0-2. In 2 winnable games.
It really is amazing where they're at. It's almost unbelievable, but it's them. So it's believable.
I know, but I will say, again, I was not one who had high expectations for him, but even that, 2-5.
I am stunned by the 2-5. Yeah,
like,
yeah. And the Broncos
like,
lost.
What are we doing here?
And the way they've lost. No, I get it. I guess, you know, big picture, if this morphs into what it looks like it's morphing into, you know, 8-9, 7-10, even 9-8 is unacceptable. I'm sorry. If it goes in that direction, I don't know that I would be stunned at the end result, but I am stunned sitting here, even with the built-in Jet expectations of something going wrong to an extent, because I try to plow through that, as you know. 2-5? I mean, yeah, and the way they've looked and lost, they haven't really looked good. They've looked good once. Looked like a functional, organized, cohesive team once the whole season.
And that was against the awful...
The second-worst team in football.
I mean, can they even realistically win 8 games?
They're going to beat the Patriots, so that's right. 3. Okay. I mean, 2 is coming back, so if you thought they were going to beat
that's
the Dolphins
I mean.
Twice, that's probably more like once.
Even if you split them, you're beating Buffalo in Buffalo?
I mean, no, I thought they'd beat them here. I don't think they'll win up there.
All right, so
probably not.
Let's count the wins. Let's give them
by the way, Amari Cooper, touchdown for him.
Yeah, I saw that. Let's give them 1 against the Pats, 1 against Miami.
All right, that's 4 at this point.
Home against the Rams?
They'll win that game. 5.
At Jacksonville?
They'll win that game 6. Or at least have a good chance to.
Okay. Home against Seattle?
They'll have a good, very good chance to win that. 7.
Okay. Home against the Colts?
They should win that game.
Okay, so 8. It's 8 total?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're beating the Texans?
I mean, you asked me that before, and I feel like it's a loss
now. You
got to
get a loss there. I mean, okay. Home against the Texans at Arizona. And at at Buffalo was the other ones.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have much faith in these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Aaron Rodgers looks old. Garrett Wilson looks like he's taking a step back. Gardner's getting pushed all over the field. The offensive line is still a mess. And the secondary is now ravaged. They had 4 or 5 guys go down last night. And they were already missing Michael Carter and DJ Reed. Like, how many guys can get hurt? They have.
I understand that. And the reason why I even brought it up is because, like, at 2-5, it's not just that the record is bad and what we've seen from the team is discouraging, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
It's that mathematically, you've got to go 8-2 over your final 10 games to get to 10 wins.
Yep.
Like, based on what exactly would this team go 8-2? even if you paint best case scenario, very difficult to imagine going to 8-2.
Best case scenario would be they get a kicker in here who kicks it straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just tighten things up. Like, if they were getting waxed every week, 31-7, 34-10, yeah, you know, 40-13, there's nothing to talk about. Season's over. The way they lose, of course, it makes it more excruciating and painful because that's what they do to us. But they really aren't that far. Even last night.
Okay.
You know, and this
right,
is,
but 8-2?
Yeah. No, it seems unrealistic, for sure. Of course
or I
it
guess,
does.
I guess you give them a win, let's say 7-2 over the final nine because they're going to beat New England. They have a cupcake with New England here. 7-2 over the final nine?
I mean, I'm not signing up for it. I'm not racing to place the bet.
I'll tell you, a big difference is going to be Tua. Yeah. Because if without Tua, Miami can't move the football,
yeah,
so they're done.
I know.
I mean, those could be two wins there. It's not like the schedule. They do have a soft schedule.
He tries to lure me in every week, this guy.
I have an idea, by the way.
What's up there, Hoffman?
I know you said that they need a new kicker, which is good. I mean, that would definitely be helpful. They've traded for everybody else. If they traded for a wide receiver, can they trade for a new quarterback?
This is what he gives us. Probably not, buddy. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, maybe they can find somebody to throw the ball.
How about the Jets and the Giants work on a deal? Rodgers for Jones, straight up.
Oof.